Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valenti and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's ready at 1-2, and here it comes. Arozarena strikes out swinging. Got him on a slider. So we have seen Rocker's ability to add and subtract velocity on his slider, and he has back-to-back strikeouts here.
Eric Nadel with the call. Let's try this again. Good morning, Metroplex. We are live as the 2024 Firehouse Tour continues in Burleson. Firehouse number one. And when I was driving my 65 minutes out here, every time I do it, I'm like, ain't no one going to be out here. And then you got the backside of the firehouse, not on the main road. And then we show up, and every single time, we're at double digits at 6 o'clock
every
in the morning.
Time. It never fails. It never fails. The Tolos represent, and they impress. It doesn't matter where it is either.
A lot of drunks for the bottle opener giveaway. That's what this is telling me. So props to you guys. We are right there with you. Sean Treif, RJ Choppy, and Bobby Belt to start off the weekend.
We also have some of those G-bag goblet thingies still
chalices,
left.
Chalices. What they call them.
And that just goes to show you, like, what lose? They can't even get rid of their own gear. They have to pawn it off on us to give it to people as, like, you know, secondary items. Because, you know, once these bottle openers go, they're going to be like, oh, well, fine. Yeah. I'll have to settle for something that says G-Bag.
How much,
now I could not watch the games.
How much Sean and RJ stuff do you think they're giving away at G-Bag remotes? None.
None.
There's none of it left.
It's gone by
it's
7 o'clock.
Gone.
Well, the flags.
Okay, fine. The flags, that's kind of
flags cool. Go pretty fast.
That's kind of
well.
Cool.
I mean, I think I had a flag from about 5 years ago that I was giving out at the last firehouse. So that kind of shows the inventory that they leave behind.
Man, there you go. That's Bobby and Choppy going right at the afternoon show. Thank you all for waking up with us. Thank you for coming out. And how about Kumar Rocker? Kumar. Excuse me.
Yeah, you don't want Sandler biting your head off.
No, he can bite anything he wants. All right, that sounded bad. I'm sorry.
Kumar Rocker, the major league debut. If I asked you guys, we had a pre-show meeting here in the luxurious firehouse facilities that they have, and I said, Thursday night football Tua or Rocker, what would you pick to start with?
Rocker.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, not the actual football game, the injury.
Yes.
But, yeah, that's part of it. But, I mean, look, that's as good of a debut as you're going to find.
Yo, that was fun.
He's nasty. Like, I mean, he is so filthy. The slider is disgusting. The rise on the fastball, like, he's going to be, if he's, I don't want to get too excited. The last time I got this excited watching somebody make their debut pitching was Neftali, which was 15 years ago when he came out and was throwing
excited.
102 against Oakland. That was the last time that I felt this excited about somebody. But it's, you know, he gets out there, throws 74 pitches, and strikes out 7. He looked really, really good.
Yeah, that's the, you know, the what I'll tell you, one of the things I love is today's baseball, they're all cookie cutter. And he's got a different windup, right? He still comes over the top with the hands. Not a lot of guys do that anymore. It's very slow. It's very Curt Schilling. I just like seeing different things. You don't even see that anymore. Now these guys are just here, down, up, and then go.
I don't want to anger Jared Sandler or anybody else by saying something wrong potentially. But when you watch when you watch his delivery with his arm, don't you see like, oh, I see how maybe he tore his UCL.
Oh,
shut up, Bobby.
It's so violent. It's so violent.
4 innings, 1 run, 3 hits, 7 strikeouts, 2 walks. 17 whiffs. Jared with the extra notes. His 17 swings and misses, the most by a Rangers pitcher making his debut, breaking AJ Alexi's mark.
Oh, wow.
Of 11 in 2021. He had 13 of the 17 total whiffs on the slider. Only John Gray has produced more slider whiffs in a single outing by a Ranger in the StatCast era, and his slider whiffs the most ever by a Ranger in the first four innings pitched of an outing. That thing bit.
Yeah, it did. It absolutely did. And the one to a Rosarena, it looked like it was Randy's getting that swing off like he thinks this is a hanger. And that thing just had the bottom drop out. Like the 17 swings and misses just shows the electric stuff. You'll have a lot of guys out there that just don't get swings and misses. Like Jordan Montgomery, for example. He's not a big swing and miss guy, right? There's a lot of pitchers out there. But Rocker is. And that's the thing that's going to, you know, keep him two things. One, I mean, it may elevate his pitch count because he's a high strikeout guy. 74 pitches 70 through four innings is high. That'll improve. You would hope, because you want to be able to have him going deeper in the game.
Well, that also happened because that was a scary start.
Mm-hmm.
I'm all hyped up. I'm getting ready just to talk about that. It worked out perfect with the timing for Thursday Night Football with halftime.
Yeah.
And then he gives up two singles to start.
Yeah.
Very first pitch, next batter gets on, gets out of the trouble, gets out of the jam. So the pitch count was up because some guys were getting on, not just trying to get to the strikeout, but they hit on this on the TV broadcast. Bassett was fortunate enough to be on it. Dave Raymond immediately talked about his breathing. And that is an indirect or direct comparison to Jack Leiter. It was awesome seeing his parents in the stands go to those shots of his dad. Like, you're just sitting there living out that dream of your son whiffing all these major leaguers in his debut. But he was calm, and he was cool, and he was poised.
It was the type of breathing that Joe Mazzulla likes to track and see what makes a difference for guys. When he got the guys on second and third right out of the start, it's like, okay, how quickly could this go sideways? Like, is this going to break him? And it doesn't. He bounces right back. It's the two strikeouts. Then he gets the line out to end the inning. And from then on out, it seemed like he was calm and that he never let it overwhelm. And that was – that is the juxtaposition that you naturally make a little bit is to what Jack Leiter's done when he stood out there. And he's not been able to recover from those sort of moments typically.
My only nitpick, this is just talking about Cowboys offense second half while beating down the Cleveland Browns. I was like, all right, what's the fastball going to get up to? I saw him like living at 97. Did y'all notice what the high was for the night or with the outing, or, you know, how high can he get? Or will he get? I was like, all right, let's see a 101 pop in here. But that, again, is a very, very nitpicky thing.
I mean, for a starter, living at 97,
yeah.
I mean, that's pretty good.
Yeah. I was just looking for the superhuman explosion because,
sure.
I mean, he's a hoss.
Dude, he's massive. He's massive. I'll look to see if it's out there.
I'm looking on Savant right now. It looks like... doesn't have his highest fastball speed listed here.
Right.
Oh, it was average fastball speed was 96.8.
Yeah.
So I would imagine he got up to about 98 at some point.
Yeah, and on Brooks Baseball, his in the minors, it was 98 on the fastball as the average, 97 for this month.
Rangers end up winning the game in Seattle 5-4. That is secondary, at least to me, behind the start for Kumar Rocker. Bad news, as expected, Corey Seager shut down for the year.
Yeah, Corey Seager getting shut down for the year. It's, you know, as exciting as it is that you get the Kumar Rocker start, and then tonight is DeGrom, and you know, it feels like this is about as exciting a weekend as you can have left for this season with the Rangers. Getting the news about Corey Seager having another sports hernia surgery, this time on the other side from the one that he had earlier in the year, that signals to me, like, all right, this is kind of the white flag
yeah.
a little bit of just kind of season's up here. It's been disappointing, but, I mean, I'm taking this last weekend to enjoy as, like, this is kind of the final weekend of Rangers mm-hmm. baseball for me in terms of competitively is what they do this weekend.
I mean, it is. I mean, it really is. I mean, there are enough out, and there's only a couple of weeks left of the season. I sent my kids a video of Seager's swing the other day. It was slow motion.
You should have sent them one of Rocker's delivery, according to Bobby.
Rip that arm out, right? And I said the swing, and the response was, "Dad, I'm not Corey Seager." I'm like, "Yeah, I know, pal. Like, I know you're not. Like, it's okay. You can try to emulate."
Next
that.
Time they send you some Kevin Durant shoes, say you're not Kevin.
You're
Durant
not Kevin
either.
Durant. You're not Kevin Durant.
There
either.
You go.
Yeah.
7.5 back in the division. 7.5 back in the wild card.
98 was the high fastball for Kumar Rocker. He threw it against Josh Rojas. That was the high one that he threw.
That was fun. That was awesome. Rangers get the W, and Rocker lives up to all the hype. Mike McCarthy is going to join us live at 6:30 this morning as we are at Firehouse Number 1 in Burleson with all the Tolos. Some early shout-outs. Ben from Whitney, Cody from Burleson, Dan from Burleson as well. Come on out here and get the 105 Through the Fan brand new bottle openers, leftover G-bag glass, whatever that is. And, of course, we're going to feed you as well with Palmer's hot chicken, catfish, and shrimp. Is two. This is the story, though, in the world of sports nationally. It's going to probably dominate the entire weekend. Should Tua ever play football again after what happened in Miami? That's next with Sean and RJ. 105.3 The Fan.
You're down by 21 points, 4th and 4. Pressure. Tua steps up. He's going to run for the first down and takes a shot at the 6-yard line. Hamlin hit him and Tua down.
That was Al Michaels with the call last night on Amazon. The sports story that is going to take over, has taken over the entire world as the Buffalo Bills dominate the Miami Dolphins. Good morning, Metroplex. Shout out to the 6AM Club. Look at this crowd. That's insane out here in Burleson showing up. Already.
Burleson has always represented well. Mm-hmm. Whenever we did like we did a fan hang at a Twin Peaks out in Burleson, and when we came out this way a couple months ago.
What's our town history? Give it to us, Bobby.
All right, let's see here. What do we have for Burleson? Of course,
he went deep into the wiki.
Obviously, No.
Did you pay your $4 to Wikipedia?
No, I did not.
Anybody ever done that?
What, paid $4 to a kid? That's like, not, it's
nobody's
a donation.
Nobody's ever donated.
It's a donation to keep it around.
Yeah, but has anyone done it?
I'm sure somebody must have. No, okay. I never would. Yeah. Famous residents, obviously, at Kelly Clarkson, like I said. Yeah. Anybody who wanted to find Burleson, you just find the Kelly Clarkson aura on the western sky and follow it all the way
to
Burleson. Hidden Wine Country, so the Lost Oak
There's
Winery.
There's not any aura left after the Ozempic.
Oh, my God. Hidden Wine Country.
That's not an insult. She obviously is Ozempic or something. She's like a twig.
The Lost Oak Winery in Burleson is considered a hidden gem, offering wine tastings, live music, and events. Burleson was named after Rufus C. Burleson, the president of Baylor University at the time of the town's founding in 1881.
There's not enough Rufuses anymore. I think we need to bring that name
back. I know. Rufus is a good name.
It's a lost name.
That's
really
the Trufus, Rufus. And Burleson has a unique connection to dinosaurs. Did you know this?
Yeah.
Did you know that this is dinosaur country right here? Dinosaur Valley State Park, known for its well-preserved dinosaur tracks, is less than an hour away, making it a popular day trip destination for residents of Burleson.
Bring your kid. Bring your kid to it. There's like fossils.
It's pretty cool,
everything.
Actually.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. So thank you for having us out. The Firehouse, thanks to the Tolos who are rolling out early this morning. We got 105 Through the Fan brand new bottle openers. We got G-Bag glassware as well. And Mike McCarthy coming up at 6:30. So Tua suffers another concussion. Started him in fantasy like a dumbass. Unfortunately, I was thinking about that as he was trying to. I'm like, give me some garbage numbers because they were getting crushed.
Yeah.
And he runs into Damar Hamlin when it looks like he could have slid or avoided what happened. He actually got up limping. And I was like, all right, maybe that's a lower body injury because it was not like a helmet-to-helmet, typical, ugly, obvious concussion hit. But his neck kind of got caught up in DeMar's body. Another concussion, Tua gone for the game.
Yeah, and Ali, they've got like the 10-day break, right? It's the mini bye because it was a Thursday night game. So they have a little bit of an extended break before the next game. So that gives him a little bit more time if he's going to play at all. But like, this is just, we've reached a point where it's this guy like is so prone to concussions. And he did the same, not as bad as in Cincy, where he had like, it was called fencing, where you lose control, your hands.
So people last night were saying they kind of saw something. I didn't see anything with his hands.
He did like a made a fist. He was like kind of like flexing them down a little bit.
I don't know if that was a I don't know if that
wasn't as bad.
I don't know if that was a neurological reaction, like it was the report, or that was more just he was kind of rolling over and kind of like in pain or shock. Like I don't know if that was the same sort of response, but he can't lead with his head. I don't know what it takes for him to realize like you got to slide or you got to go to. Uh-huh. He led with his head, lowered it into DeMar Hamlin's chest.
Yeah, and that's that's something that he has to do. Like he can't do that. He needs to know he can't do that. But like that's so secondary for him. Like it's just a question of like, dude, what do they do?
He's got to honestly. Like I'm at the point where it's like you can't put him back on the field. Like the NFL's got to reach a point for themselves where they're like, he's too much of a risk. He's too much of a liability. Like, we can't have him get another concussion, have something bad happen on the field.
Can the NFL step in on that?
I don't know. I mean, like, what they would probably do is they would probably pressure Miami and not playing him, right? So they would officially do it because I don't know if they can. But like, remember last time this happened, when they put him back out there in the middle of that Cincinnati game, he had the concussion. They put him back out. And then he did the with his hands, right? Because he got up and he was like kind of like, you know, stumbling around. People were calling for McDaniel's job at that point. Like that was like I think that was year one for him.
Yeah,
and they were already calling for his job.
They put him back out.
Yeah,
and then they kind of like sketchiness over the truth. Like, oh, it wasn't really a concussion.
Stinger.
One of the doctors got fired over that as well for letting him.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet, and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We go back out there. What is the New York area code?
There's a lot of them.
212.
We
got the issue of 212 because they just gave him four for 212.
Oh, very good. Oh, wow. That's good there. Yeah. That's good. That is the big issue there.
212 they just gave him. And we didn't talk about this enough. Like, what happens the first time?
Yeah.
What happens when he gets his next concussion? You know, it would be stupid to be like, oh, he's just never going to get a concussion again. And we didn't really talk about that when we were deciding whether to pay him. What tier is he on? How different from Dak? What does it mean for Dak's money?
They were looking at it just from a performance standpoint. And last year he was fine. He was good. And I don't believe he got hurt at all last year.
He gained weight last year.
Right.
Took the karate classes, the slide or whatever. Then he wanted to be more nimble to make some playmaking plays with his feet. And here we are.
Who do you think, it's obviously for very different reasons, who do you think stresses out the NFL more, Deshaun Watson or Tua?
Tua.
Oh.
Tua. What do you do, though?
Because Tua's, it'll be a lawsuit thing, right?
But it's a physical health, are we going to have CTE before this kid's 30? Deshaun Watson kind of off the field, accusations, all that stuff.
I don't even know that it's CTE they're worried about. I think they're worried about him not walking. Like, I think they're worried about he just gets absolutely rocked.
What do you do if you're the Stephen Ross, Mike McDaniel conversation today?
I think
you got to weigh money, morals, competing, options.
The money aspect, my assumption is, I mean,
that they can get out of it.
Insured. I mean, my assumption, well, even if, let's say they can't get out of it, my assumption is it's insured, right? They insure these contracts. But they probably could get out if he retires. Like, now they'll be on the hook for cap. But
you know, we've seen this a lot with Mike McDaniel over the past few days, like his emotion. Mm-hmm. He seems to be I like him.
Yeah.
Seems to be like a genuine raw dude whose conscience wears on him. Does he just get the medical okay from a doctor in order to make this decision? But you're going to have to live with the decision of maybe putting him back out there unless the league steps in or Stephen Ross ends it and whatever happens to Tua's life afterwards.
If you... I don't know. I think the discussions there this morning have to be until further notice he doesn't go on the field. Like, even if somebody clears him, like, we got to have time to talk about this.
He's 26.
It's so young.
26.
It's so young. And you're right. Like, he might have, I mean, he might not even have CTE before he's 30. He might not be able to walk.
They will not survive. The Dolphins, the NFL, I don't think they survive if they put him on the field and something really bad happens. Like, something permanent happens. I don't know how they weather that. Yeah. That would be way worse than the DeMar Hamlin.
I want to ask Mike McCarthy, because every time we asked one of the Cowboys in Oxnard about guardian caps, it was kind of like,
why does he wear one?
Exactly. That's why. Let's ask Mike McCarthy. Let's get you ready for the New Orleans Saints on Sunday right here on this radio station. It's next with Sean, RJ, and Bobby live from Burleson right here on The Fan. We are live here at Firehouse Number 1 in Burleson. The 2024 Sean and RJ Firehouse Tour continues with Bobby Roberto Bell, our Cowboys insider. And we are joined, as we are every single Friday, live at this time by the head coach of America's team, Mike McCarthy, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company on DFW. Look at that.
There we go.
They revved it up for Coach. As soon as they heard the intro, they turned on the fire truck. Good morning, Coach. How are you?
Oh, doing great. So you're actually at the firehouse. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. We remember last year you gave the firehouse the shout-out with the firefighters, and we continue to go ahead and play that on the station. So we're happy to have you back on. Man, awesome performance week one, Coach. A lot of noise around here, as you know, a lot of distractions. What did it say to you about your team that y'all went out and handled business like that and on the road against a really quality football team?
Well, definitely is. Yeah, you know, that first road win is always so important. You know, definitely right out the gate in week one. But great environment to play in. I know our guys really enjoyed it. But, you know, I think like a lot of things, you know, we had a really good camp, hit our targets, had a nice week of preparation going into it. But, you know, it's good to win and still have a lot to work on. So, and that's what we've been really harping on this week, is clean up the details, because, you know, we still have a lot of growth in front of us.
Coach, I wanted to ask you a question connected to the Tua story last night. I know a lot of times you don't get to watch those games, but Tua suffered another concussion. What has been y'all's players' response to the guardian caps and wearing those in games? How did the players receive that?
Receiving in games, haven't had a lot of conversation about in games, but I know our players, you know, favor them. I think it's like anything new. There's an adjustment period, and you've seen that the last, you know, 2 years. But you're seeing guys, you know, more and more guys wear them now. As far as in games, I think that the only, you know, real conversations that I've been a part of is the new helmets that are out there. You know, so a lot of guys are considering that because of their level of protection.
Bill Belichick said he's more interested in kind of even seeing his team in week two versus week one. And Dak yesterday was saying he sees a lot of times the most improvement from week one to week two with a football team. Do you agree with that, Coach? And why is that big leap a lot of times from week one to two?
Yeah, it's definitely a metric that's supported. And I think just like anything, I think in today's era, of training camp and how it's handled, and truly not, you know, taking the field as a full team until week one. So there's always that opportunity of, okay, hey, we've taken our first step. So we now, you know, clearly know where we are and who we are, and you definitely have a chance to build off of it, because, you know, until you get out there and go a full four quarters in live action, you know, it's really not the same. You try to simulate it in training camp, and then obviously with the preseason games laid out the way they are, you know, it's definitely has a here we go moment to it.
Is it the communication offensively that generally that you find is you know, has the biggest jump, or what is it?
Well, I think you can go all the way through. I mean, you can talk about your communication, your boundary communication, your pace operation, the on the field communication, all those things, the coaching headset interaction. But you know, you do have it throughout the preseason. So I think the communication challenge all the way through, you have a chance to improve on, because anytime you line up, you have a chance to evaluate, correct, and apply. And then the fundamentals, you know, I think if you watch around the league, you know, just the fundamentals are something that you're really, really going to emphasize more than ever in September, because, you know, it's you just the time that you have leading into it.
Coach, you talked to, you know, there's been a lot of discussion during the offseason about the running game and what that would look like and how the carry breakdown would look like. How do you feel like you guys handled that in week one? And is that similar to the way you would like that workload to look moving forward, or do you anticipate some tweaks?
Well, I think the biggest thing in week one was the run attempts in the second half. I think it would have painted a better picture of what the, you know, what the plan was throughout the game. But I thought the first half we were rotating the way I envisioned it. I would have liked to get Deuce more opportunities. But then, you know, this week's a different game plan. There's different things you're emphasizing, you know, both schematically and personnel-wise. And then, you know, and we'll see how this sorts out.
Mike McCarthy joining us here, 105 through the Fan. So when you're up in a game like you were in the second half last week, and their offense clearly was not able to get anything going for the most part throughout that game. Does you change how you call the game kind of based on what the other team's offense is doing? And is that kind of what happened in the second half? Because the offense did stall out a little bit.
Well, our challenge on the offense was the five. You know, we had five third downs, you know, obviously with turns returned. So we had less series, you know, in the second half. But our biggest correction was, you know, it was the five third downs. I mean, three of them were, you know, plays that we felt were clearly in position to execute. We just, you know, whether it was the mechanics of the protection, or, you know, it was something that, you know, we could do better fundamentally. So that was the biggest thing for us offensively, because, you know, I definitely would have liked to got another score there in the third quarter and to really put the game out of reach even further. But, you know, and I think, like anything, you see it all the time. If you don't take that opportunity there, when you have someone on the ropes, you know, then their offense can, you know, try to scrape and fight back, get in the game. And, you know, and they had some long series against our defense there when we were playing more of a, you know, I don't like the word prevent, but more of a shell defense.
Cowboys head coach Mike McCarthy joining us here on 105 Through the Fan. Coach, there was a lot of discussion, obviously, about the two young offensive linemen heading this game, Cooper Beebe and Tyler Guyton. How did they grade out for you, and what would you like to see them continue to improve upon this week?
Well, I think the biggest thing is just, you know, get ready to for the challenge that's in front of them. I think just like anything, now that they've played, you know, their videos on film, you're playing another, you know, a very good defensive line, defensive front. This is a very experienced front, but you know they play differently, you know, from a technical standpoint. So they're both going to be really challenged this week, and I just want to, you know, see them build off what they accomplished last week.
Coach, you know, there's obviously been a lot of discussion about the New Orleans situation and all the weather that they've been dealing with the, you know, the hurricane making landfall. You spent a lot of time there in New Orleans in that city. Just kind of your thoughts for them and that community this week as they prepare for a football game.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, in my thoughts and prayers, I think any time you have a chance to be part of a community and, you know, and you deal with the hurricane situation there, I mean, it's, you know, it affects everybody. So, you know, at home and at work. So, but Hopefully everybody pulls through cleanly. But it's definitely a challenge.
Coach, one of the things that really has jumped out about your fantastic regular season record is handling the business that Vegas says that you guys are supposed to handle when you guys are expected to win or you guys are a favorite. And a lot of times, you know, that doesn't happen in the NFL. Just look at week one again. What is your secret sauce to getting guys up for games that maybe are not as hype? Because Michael Lombardi told us anyone can get up for the playoff games, but how do you get your guys to handle business and get up for maybe the games that everyone thinks you're supposed to win, which you guys have done a great job of over the years?
I think it really points to our locker room and the consistency in our process. I think you have to, you know, so much of what we do in season, there's a flow and a detailed scheduling, you know, focus on it that you have to get the efficiency of your play on the field as high as you can. And I think everything leading up to that, you know, helps that and supports that. So I think we do have a good process. You know, it's just like any program that you're building as a head coach. It may take a little longer than you want in the beginning, but it's something that, you know, we have in place here. And then ultimately is our guys emotionally, you know, able to get up at a high level week in and week out, and we know, you know, everybody, we're going to get everybody's best shot too. So it's something that we keep at the forefront of our thinking and our prep plan.
You could argue that the Saints had the most impressive win in week one. What jumped off the tape in their game against Carolina?
Really good football team, you know, all the way through. You watch the study, into last week and early this week, we felt that the challenge is definitely going to be there in all three areas. So obviously the point production, but you could really see it at the end of last year. You look at their numbers from last year and the way they came out the gate against Carolina. So this is a playoff caliber football team we're playing.
Does it help you in the prep that they won in such convincing fashion that the message can be relayed, hey, you definitely can't take a week off because of the scoreboard that they put up last week?
I mean, the true reality in our game, you never have a week off. So, yeah, that's not even part of the thought process or even been entertained. So, they're coming in here and feeling good about themselves, you know, feeling confident. You know, we're obviously confident, but we know we want to improve this week. We're playing at home; it's our home opener, so a lot of energy going to be in the building on Sunday.
Yeah, it is. What kind of challenges does Kamara present? I mean, he seemed like he saw the fountain of youth last week.
Well, definitely. No, he's a weapon. I mean, he's very detailed in his run courses and so forth. But you know, one thing you've always respected from when he hits the second level, he can take it to the end zone. So, he's big-time player.
Coach, how has Jake Ferguson progressed throughout this week and where you guys view him heading into Sunday?
He's doing well. I did a little more yesterday, so we'll see how he feels this morning and set a plan. But, he's getting close.
Coach, also, you know, you're going up against Dennis Allen this week in the Saints, which is obviously one of the, Dennis Allen, one of the more revered defensive minds in the NFL. What kind of an adversary is he in terms of just the chess match that goes into preparing for a football game?
A very good chess match. Does a lot. He's multiple coverage defense. Has some really good pressure packages. So similar to some of the things Mike Zimmer does here. So he schematically is a big challenge.
Overshown is getting a ton of love, both from Micah, the fans, all of us, not just for the personality, but some of those plays that he made in week one. How do you feel about the linebacking group overall and what DeMarvion and other additions, Kendricks with a big first week, just how you feel about the linebacking group heading into week two?
Well, I think our linebacker room is excellent. You know, obviously we have some new faces in there, and it's great to have Demo back. I mean, I think everybody, both on our team and in the eyes on the game saw what he's capable of doing, with his impact plays. So it's just a really dynamic group. I just want to keep seeing them improve each week. So I think you've got a really good mix of veterans and young players there.
Coach, the average start on the kickoff, so on the new rules, first game with the new rules, the average start when you guys kicked it off, I think it was around the 27-yard line. Going forward, as we get more data on this, do you see just kicking it deep every time and just giving them the ball at the 30 versus the risk of the long return maybe the way to go?
Well, I mean, I think the biggest thing is it's part of your game plan. We're obviously watching the analytics of it. You know, John Fossil is someone that's, you know, was part of the installation and the rules and the changes there. So at a high level, so we feel like we have a good grip on what it's capable of doing. But you definitely watch the trends of the decisions. And at the end of the day, it's still part of the game plan. You know, whether we're playing indoors this week at AT&T. So all those things kind of factor into your thinking.
Coach, thank you so much for the time as always. Let's make it 2 for 2, and we'll do it again next week.
All right. Thank you, man. Have a good weekend.
You too, sir. Mike McCarthy on the Home of the Cowboys every single Friday at this time, brought to you by Black Rifle Coffee Company on DFW Sports Station. You didn't ask about Kansas City.
I did. I have it written down. I'm saving it. Okay. I have the exact way I'm gonna ask it.
All right, how would you have asked it?
All right, I would say, Coach, I've been tasked with asking you this. Is that a hornet? What is that thing?
No, it's like a moth or something.
You and I have the best relationship. I feel like a distant cousin. Nobody serves up a shot and a beer like you and me.
Okay.
All right, just gotta butter them up that way. Then our midday show, they're just complaining that your press conferences don't start at the same time every day.
Yeah.
And that they sometimes, that you start them later than they're scheduled. And what does a busy man like yourself have to say to that?
He'd say, good question, Chiafalo. After long consideration, but he still sounds a little businessy. I need to hear another crack or two. I need to hear some more lightheartedness.
Yeah, I did not, given the way the first, not that he was uptight, but it was definitely all business today. I didn't hear any of the ball busting yet. And so I was like, I don't know that he's going to receive well. If you were going to ask it, Chop, I think you should have come at it from the angle of, our midday show is complaining about how your appearances don't start on time. We just wanted to encourage you to keep up that inconsistency and screw with them. what we would encourage it drives them nuts.
All right, so there's Mike McCarthy. Speaking of head coaches, what is this Sean Payton story that came out last night from the organization that got the Commander's employee?
Boy, this is old Project Veritas, which is no longer Project Veritas. What is it now? James O'Keefe.
OMG. OMG Media. It's O'Keefe Media Group.
O'Keefe Media Group.
It's the American Swiper. That's his guy.
Swiper, no swiping. James O'Keefe, he dropped late
last night.
Everything
is so like CSI about all this.
It is. They released part two of their series of videos from this former Vice President of Content for the Washington Commanders, Ryle Intine. And, of course, in the first video, he's making all these aggressive claims about Jerry really runs the league and everything else. Well, he says that that was all pretext, the Bounty Gate issue from years ago. It was not really about paying players to take people out. He says that Sean Payton and other Saints coaches were caught stealing painkillers from the team doctor, saying, quote, they used the story of Bounty Gate as the justification for the suspension to cover up the truth, which is that they had a painkiller addicted and distributing coaching staff. So this is essentially what you got here. The conspiracy theory being presented is the same as Michael Jordan didn't really retire. It was a secret gambling suspension from the NBA.
Right.
That's essentially what this guy's claiming. Now, this might seem a little more like, whoa, what a revelation, I think, if this is the first video you drop. But after he said a lot of other stuff in the first video that was like, this dude's clearly just kind of throwing some stuff against the wall, that I'm less likely to believe that this is real inside information that he's sharing.
You know, you'd have to convince me that Bounty Gate was better than distributing pain pills. One's illegal.
Stealing painkillers would be illegal.
Right, that's the illegal one.
Yeah.
Yeah. Bounty Gate's not illegal. You're not going to go to jail.
Bounty Gate's worse for the league.
Correct. Yeah, it's a football crime. It's like the football crime versus the actual.
Yeah.
Like the pain pills, distributing them, stealing them, giving them to people without being a doctor. You can't do that.
Yeah.
But Bounty Gate's worse for the league, unless the NFL will be worried about some, like, lawsuit, losing their ability to even have pain pills on the property.
Why do you think it's worse, the Bounty Gate one? Because I think a lot of people just naturally assume, they're
because you have a coach who is giving players incentive to try to end careers. Like, that's probably second worst to them behind gambling and fixing games, I think. Like, okay, if Sean Payton got some pain pills or stole them from the team doctor, maybe this is a lesson in the news cycle. Like, I don't care about this. I don't care. It's like I feel like they're trying to grasp on and suck every single ounce. If this maybe even came from a different guy, not the same Commanders dude, maybe I look at it different. It's so long ago, I don't believe that the league would say, let's create Bountygate to cover up Sean Payton and his staff needing pills. That just doesn't add up to me.
Maybe they didn't create Bountygate. Maybe they just used that
leaked
as
leaked it.
Well, yeah, maybe Bountygate actually happened, and they just punished them harsher.
They planned on punishing them the whole time, but then they gave them a harsher punishment. Like, hey, right, we're going to actually punish you for this too, but we're not going to bring this part right up publicly.
That's possible.
But I don't really care about this.
Yeah, I mean,
and I think this is not going to have any legs either.
I'm trying to think, what year was that? What year was Bountygate? Was that
07? Oh,
it was post-Super Bowl, wasn't it?
Well, that's what he was punished for.
Yeah,
but I don't know what happened.
11-ish or whatever. I'm trying to think. What was the climate back then for stuff like concussions and long term health of players? If it was, there have been a lot of different questions at different points in the league's history of just like, are you abusing painkillers with these players and jeopardizing their health long term? So I'm trying to think of what the climate would have been for that at that moment.
Greg was there because it was Greg Williams, right? He was there 09 to 11.
So 11 is when it
Super Bowl year till. And then Rob Ryan, I guess, took over.
Shannon Sharp is safe at ESPN. Not on your computer, safe, but safe at ESPN, according to TMZ. He is not going to be fired, disciplined, punished for the video that came out.
Which he shouldn't have been. Should it? Like, I mean, is that
should Paul Pierce have been fired?
For other reasons, probably. Like, him not being very good. But no, not
no,
for
but they
that.
Canned him for his IG Live video.
Yes.
It was inappropriate
it
that,
was.
That they said.
But his was also on purpose. Like, he knew, like, hey, I know I'm putting this out there. Shannon Sharpe's being like, he turned a phone around, accidentally had some, it's a mistake.
Right. And did
Paul do anything illegal?
I don't know. Was there drugs involved?
I don't know.
Was there marijuana?
To me, were they prostitutes? I don't know.
Prostitutes, that's illegal.
Sorry for the young Tolo out
here. I don't know. If they found there was drugs involved with that. But no, he didn't do anything.
I think they might have been smoking weed.
Yeah. Disney, I don't know what, where.
And look, I don't think anything should happen. I didn't think anything was going to happen. I'm just asking the Paul Pierce comparison.
Yeah, I mean, Shannon, like he said, nobody was harmed during this. She may need an ice pack, but nobody was harmed.
Paul Pierce, clearly, I guess the difference to me is Paul Pierce represented ESPN in what he did. Like, he was still, like, he's viewed as, like, you're representing ESPN and going out here and doing what you're doing. You're actively reflecting, this is my public image, whereas Shannon's was not wanting to reflect anything.
So, I can't believe this website sent me this, but Bobby, you'll love it because you were trying to figure out what Michelle it was.
And it's not who you thought it was.
I think it is.
I'll tell you why it's not that later.
Bet Online sent me odds
on
the Michelles. It's not a hornet, Choppy.
I know.
Your girl's out here. Don't act like a wuss. You got to act tough in front of her.
I'm just looking at it.
Who was the Michelle in Shannon Sharpe's video? Like, is
in
this
his custom vid?
Is this defamation? Like, can you sue for this? The odds are Michelle Beadle, 3-1. Used to be on ESPN. Now does that show with Chandler Parsons.
No.
Michelle Jenner. Michelle Kwan. Michelle Evans.
Michelle Kwan.
Michelle Keegan. Michelle Ruff. Michelle Bundy. I don't know these people.
Sounded rough.
Michelle Burke. Michelle Rodriguez. Michelle Branch. Michelle Williams. Who else is on here? Michelle Obama.
Probably not.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Michelle Obama's 150-1 odds.
Why do I not see... Where's Michelle Tafoya? Why isn't she on this list?
Jeez, Bobby.
Just go to her social media. That may answer it. All right, there it is. Everything you need to know. Shout out to the 6 a.m. Club as the sun is starting to come up here in Burleson. What an amazing, awesome turnout. Make sure you stop on by and y'all here get your 105 through the fan bottle. What are these shirts?
Oh, the Wells Brothers are here today from AT&T Stadium.
Baby. What the heck? They got custom shirts.
They got custom Wells Boy shirts.
Wow. Hell yeah. That is awesome. We may have to turn turn the wireless loose as we continue here from Firehouse number one. What did Mike McDaniel have to say about Tua and his future? And did you switch on over for the electric debut of Kamar Rocker? That's next on the home of the Rangers, 105.3 The Fan.
Well, let's get you over to Boomer Jacks, your official game day headquarters, and the place to watch all the sports this weekend. Any location in DFW, it's your neighborhood sports grill. Best deals in town, happy hour all day, every day, and half-price wings on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. But how about this? Today, every day, all day, $3 domestic drafts, $4 well drinks, $6 Tito's. It's only happening at Boomer Jacks. Kitchens open at midnight or later. Enjoy your favorite games and that menu all night long. Boomer Jacks, your official game day headquarters. Find yours online, boomerjacks.com.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Northsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.